During a summer visit to my grandmother's the year I turned 10, I went out one night after dinner with a promise to return before dark. I hiked through the woods to the creek where I removed my shoes and waded into cold water, jabbing a stick at tadpoles, the silver minnows tickling my ankles. The bank along the creek was a plush carpet of pine needles. I made a nest for myself, gazing happily up at branches that were lankier and knottier than the ones we had back home, but no less majestic. Twilight, when it came, produced another southern novelty, like the fireflies hovering among the pecan trees or fat cockroaches that sprang from the corners of the broom closet on paper-thin wings. Unlike the lingering end to summer days in the Pacific Northwest, where a cobalt sky deepened for hours before falling gently into night, twilight here was swift, layer upon layer of color stripped until all that remained outshone the white of a cotton bowl, its glare brighter and more potent than what preceded it, as if the light in its trembling moment of death bequeathed a glimpse into the great beyond from which it had been harvested. Fooled into thinking darkness was a ways off, I took my time heading back to the house, plucking pine cones off the forest floor, stuffing my pockets with glittery, mica-covered rocks. By the time I went to find the main trail that led home, darkness had fallen. A band of bobwhites whistled, a squeaky din that stood the hairs on my arms. Twigs crunched underfoot. I walked in one direction, then another, dismayed to discover I'd circled back to the same exact spot. Mosquitoes descended on my knees and arms. I slapped them away and sat on a fallen log, trying to quell the panic rising in my throat. Finally, I put one foot in front of the other with plodding certitude I hoped would manifest in a clearer sense of direction. It worked because soon I'd reached the main trail and sped for home. Lit from behind by a metal cage housing a tube light, my parents sat having a heated discussion on the back porch. Now and then the tube light hissed and crackled, inflating their grotesque profiles, caricatures magnifying their unhappiness, and electrocuting an unsuspecting mosquito or fly. Dad sat with head bowed, his long pale fingers tented on the table as he gazed into a glass of iced tea. Seated next to him, Mom spoke energetically, her hands swooping and diving in the strange blue light like frightened birds. "Daddy, Daddy!" His face broke into a grin as I climbed into his lap, burying my face in his chest. Mom sat silent, chin in hand, as she stared into the woods from which I just emerged, the vein at the base of her jaw still pulsing. After a moment, she pushed back her chair. "I'm going to bed." For a long time, it was just my father and me on the patio. He smelled sharp and clean and safe, a combination of laundry soap and the cinnamon mints he crunched by the handful. I pressed my cheek to his chest where the beat of his heart, calm and resilient, at last granted my eyelids permission to droop. When sometime later he whispered my name, I pretended to be asleep and was carried into the house and up the stairs. He kissed my forehead. I fell into a deep, restful sleep, dreaming of nothing.